Paratooth Radio is a proud member of Evergreen Podcasts on killerpodcasts.com.
The views and opinions of this show are directly those of the hosts and its guests. It does not reflect the opinions of its affiliates or its sponsors.
Christian and non-Christian paranormal investigators. They have two different views, and it seems as if neither of them can ever agree on anything. So what happens when a mainstream view of the paranormal crosses paths with the Christian view? Something epic. This is Paratrooper.
Welcome to Paratrooth Radio, the Christmas edition. What's up, everybody, and welcome to a brand new episode of Paratrooth Radio. My name is Eric.
And I'm Justin.
And today we kick off, you guessed it, the Christmas season. It's crazy to think about that because it feels like it was June, just like a month right. ago. It's insane.
Oddly enough, North Dakota feels like it's May. It was 65 degrees today, and it's supposed to be mid to high 40s the rest of the week. And that is very weird for North Dakota, especially this time of year.
Yeah, same thing here. I mean, it's pretty cool today, but tomorrow's supposed to be in the 50s. So, you know, get those Indian summers. Take it. So the one thing that's happening today, well, first and foremost, this is a rabbit hole episode.
Down the rabbit hole.
Yeah. So we're going to be doing that, going all kinds of different places, and we got a lot to talk about. But the first thing I want to do, and we didn't, I don't know why we didn't discuss this off air, probably should have. as you guys know, we had a posting for the last few weeks. It was a contest to name our new rabbit. It's our mascot for Paratrooth Radio. Now, Justin and I, before this episode, actually took the time to go through all of the names and we narrowed them down one by one. And it took a little time because some of these names are really good. So I just want to congratulate everybody for taking the opportunity to do that, because you guys had some really creative names and it was a hard choice in the end. So hard that we actually had to do something a little different than what we had initially planned. But before we get into that, my question is, do we want to announce that winner now, or do we want to wait until the end of the episode?
No, we're going to make them wait.
We're going to make them wait. Okay, sorry, guys. We're going to make you wait. So too bad. Anyway, so let's begin with this conversation. Yeah. You went on a paranormal investigation this past weekend.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that. Because this is something that you have mentioned, at least to me, multiple times. And you finally got a chance to do this. And it was for a friend of yours who owns a bake shop, cookie shop, something like that.
Cookie, yeah. She started out just doing it herself. And she actually just bought a house, unconventional cookies. And she bought a house to start separating business from home, because she was doing it out of her house. So now she does her 8, 10, 12 hours, whatever, at the cookie house for baking and everything else. She's started doing classes, cookie decorating classes and stuff like that. And she's felt for a while now that the place is haunted. Once I get through the evidence, I told her we'll get her on. We'll talk about it. I don't want to get ahead of myself as far as the evidence is concerned, because I would rather come to her with solid evidence instead of, and I mean, I think regardless of what I say, I think she's convinced it is haunted just by what happened there. We were doing ghost box session and EVP sessions. I had my EMF meter there. We had, I think that was pretty much it. The ghost box or the ghost box with the portal. Just very basic equipment at the moment. I had somebody else who was a volunteer investigator there with another voice recorder, digital voice recorder. But feelings wise, I've felt something there for a long time before the investigation. So that's why I decided, you know what, since she's wanting me to do it, I'll go ahead and go do it.
And how did, I mean, you had the clients with you. How did they do that? I mean, have they done an investigation before? Or is this their first one?
This was their first. And the reason they wanted to do it is because they've never done one.
Okay.
I mean, other than feeling that there's a haunting there, but that they've always wanted to, at least her specifically, just always wanted to do an investigation. So she thought this was the best time to do it.
Okay.
Our guest investigators were some friends of theirs that were interested in doing paranormal investigations. They, you know, they wanted to dip their toes in it. So I'm like, sure, that's fine. Shelly, my wife, was there. She's done investigations with us. So I thought, what better way to continue her training, quote unquote, than to bring her along, since she's got the experience anyways. But it was, I mean, everybody kept saying it was fun. It was fun. I'm like, yeah, I think it depends on your definition of fun.
Right.
Because a paranormal investigation, even though, in my opinion, we were getting positive intelligent responses from our spirit box section, a paranormal investigation isn't my idea of fun. It's exciting, it's cool to do, but I wouldn't say it's fun.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I can see why it's fun. I know that you and I have had fun on investigations in the past. And especially I remember when we were, I guess, infants into the investigative scene. infant investigators. But it was a lot of fun then. It was exciting. You don't know what's going to happen. You have a lot of anticipation. And unfortunately, that doesn't always pay off because nothing happens a lot of the time. But yeah, I mean, that sounds cool. I'm glad that they had a good time at least. And it sounds like you had some experiences in some way, nothing crazy. But in this case, it's one of those things you're just going to have to rely on the evidence instead of your own personal, you know. And that is something you've mentioned to me. I will be looking at some of that stuff for you as well, or with you. So that'll be nice, because the downside to it is I don't have the experience there. So I don't know what I felt in the moment in some of these things, but having someone from the outside listening to these might be able to discern what's going on, you know, voices or otherwise. So that's not a bad thing. Cause I think
I like relying on you, since you're not here at the moment, for going through this stuff, because you weren't there, because my feelings are going to directly influence what I'm hearing,
right,
or seeing, exactly, in a picture or the video. So
exactly.
And you also have the experience of cinematography to go through color filters, look at it a little more technically than I would have the skill to do too. So
sure, be able to see if there's anything, any glitches in the camera that you guys might not catch first time around. And I think that's the one thing that I like to do, although it's very difficult because a lot of these things are so time consuming. Ideally, when it comes to evidence, it'd be nice to have two people going over the same evidence. You have one do a pass and then a second do another pass. That way you're kind of, you know, crisscrossing it. When you have just one person doing it, there's a chance they may miss something. And if they do, that's evidence gone. On the flip side, someone who does see something, luckily, you know, we usually would bring it to each other's attention. And you have someone looking at it, but.
Yeah. And then, as you said, as fledgling investigators, we both look at it, make the same mistake, and then months or even a year later, we find out that it wasn't what it was.
So, well, you know, you're a grim reaper, a tree, they're kind of the same thing. Especially if the tree branch breaks, Widowmaker is technically a reaper.
I thought the Widowmaker was like the punch to the gut. Yeah, so it was cool. I'm looking forward to reviewing the evidence and see if anything matches what I was feeling, or what we were getting on the ghost or spirit box is what we were getting. One thing I did forget to do, and so this is a learning lesson for all of you who want to be paranormal investigators. One of my guest investigators was doing research while on investigation, and I should have told him, no, put that away. We're not doing research when we're doing an investigation, because truthfully, and again, this is for all of you guys listening who wants to be investigators, that can influence the investigation. He had found somebody who had lived at this house, and then all of a sudden he's hearing the name. I mean, we were hearing the first name of this person, but then he was hearing the last name come out of the spirit box. I don't know if that's what I heard or not, but then it's like, well, yeah, you kind of just influence yourself into hearing that name.
So yes and no in what you just said, because you're right. I think doing research and knowing certain names or elements could indeed affect your outlook on the investigation and therefore manipulate the evidence. For example, we ran an investigation at Jeffrey Dahmer's house. It's like the famous thing that we've done that everybody knows of. Just listen to us.
Yeah.
But there's this whole,
I always tell everybody that's the first story I tell them if I'm doing an investigation. Yeah. So right. I did a Jeffrey Dahmer house investigation. Oh,
I'm like, right. Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah. But, you know, during that time, there was a little spiel about a book that everybody was hearing about,
right,
on this thing, right? And for whatever reason, it just got out of control. And obviously, the owner wanted more about this book, wanted us to pay him to come back so he can find the book and make money off of it, and, you know, all this crap. Anyway,
right.
With that said, research before an investigation could be bad. However, research before an investigation is also good in the fact that you can learn who has lived in the location, what has happened there. It'll help direct your investigation and give you ideas of what to ask question wise or what to look for. Maybe certain elements that you can put into play.
But he was doing it investigating.
He was doing it as user. Okay. So, and that's still fine if you have other investigators there. But what I would suggest, and maybe this is something you do going forward with newbies, and for anyone listening, always have, if you have a team, four people on a team, 25% of that team, one person, should do the research while everybody else doesn't. And that way, when you're collecting evidence, if say there's a medium involved on your team and they're picking up on things, the only person that would know whether that's true or not would be the researcher who's done the research first.
Right.
Way, you know, you're not manipulating the evidence. That's the best way to go about it.
Right. It is cool to get new people involved. I did mention to one of the investigators that because she was bringing up, oh, you should check out the what's it called, the Belle Mayhouse. It's a kind of like theater, a musical theater here. And I'm like, yeah, and you know, I've been kind of thinking that maybe we need an investigation team here, but that's also more demand on my time, and I don't know if I can commit that. So, unless my partner in crime comes out here and helps with something, then. But
okay. We'll see. I mean, I'm about to have a lot of free time coming up, so you never know. For those of you who don't know, because this wasn't mentioned, I don't know why I'm going to mention it, but I know we've talked about work in the past. So the last few weeks, I've been struggling with a number of different things. But one of the biggest ones that I've been on my mind has been my choices in terms of completing goals that I have set out for myself. So a few years back, or a couple of years back, I had a specific amount of goals set that I wanted to achieve by a certain time. And those are mainly related to film, television, radio, things like that, writing. Since I started working full time, because I had to, I moved up to Ohio, didn't really know anybody here. So I had to find work, and then COVID happened and got stuck. I realized that those goals that I set out for myself, or put out for myself 2.5 years ago nearly, are no closer to being achieved than they were 2.5 years ago. So, being crazy, I decided to quit my job without anything lined up for the future so that I can solely focus on myself and the goals that I want to accomplish. And I'm going to tell you, it's a kind of a scary thought knowing that in like a couple of days, actually, by the time you guys are hearing this episode, I'll be done working for this company and I'll be figuring it out from there. It's scary and it's exciting. And I've read so many articles of people doing this and finding exactly what they needed by doing so, that I decided, what the hell, I'm going to go for it too. So that's the path I'm on right now. And it's a little freaked out, but it's exciting for sure.
Right. Well, this has definitely been down the rabbit hole, because we haven't even talked about any of the Christmas stuff we've ever talked about.
That's true. I think we got to make a left here.
All right, so it's Christmas time. We've done so many different topics over the years about creepy things for Christmas. But before we talk about the creepy things, something we've talked about in the past is something good that we remember from our childhood during Christmas time. And I think the biggest thing that always comes up is the family get togethers and, you know, having a good time and being with family. So, the one thing that I really want everybody to think about this time of year, doesn't matter if you celebrate Christmas, Kwanzaa, Hanukkah, whatever holiday you celebrate, enjoy it and enjoy it with your family. It's this time of year can be one of the most depressing times of year, but it can also be one of the most happy if you just choose to not focus on the negative.
Right.
So,
yeah, you know, that's something that I've actually had this discussion with somebody recently over the phone. Someone I met online, and I was telling her how, like, this time of year, because this person is very, very excited about the holidays. I, on the other hand, am not so much. And that's because around this time of year, I get very depressed. And there's various reasons behind that. People who are no longer, you know, with us, our family,
right,
like our childhood, people who are no longer with me that I celebrated these holidays with, you know, loved ones, significant others specifically. So there's a lot of memories. Like, even I know I haven't put my Christmas tree up yet, I just haven't had the time, but there's an ornament in there that I received last year from a girlfriend, which really means a lot to me. And so I'm kind
of... when you just chuck it in the garbage. Then it's not a memory anymore.
It's the... Yes. Yeah, Justin. I mean, you're not wrong. It's hard to do, especially like I... Because the gift, it's from her, but technically... and quotations here, it's from her dog who made a little paw print for me for this ornament. And it's just a memory relationship, but there's been relationships past that have been around one Christmas and then the next gone. And it's like every other Christmas, somebody's there. And then the next one there, my love life is not the best, folks. I'm just going to throw that out there right now. I don't know why I'm cursed, I guess. But yeah, so that happens. But you know, I do, and it's not just that kind of stuff. It's just like, look, it's 6:44 p.m. Eastern, 5:44 your time.
Right.
It's dark outside. Like, what the hell? You know, 2 months ago it was bright and sunny and warm. So this sucks.
Yeah. Well, and you were talking about the person that you're talking to having more of a positive outlook. I'm not saying it's not hard to have a positive outlook. It's something I struggle with every day. But once I'm done with work, I come home. Even at work, I try and look as much on the positive side. I have people I can vent to there if I need to. It's hard, but you can't let the negative stuff get to you, especially this time of year, because that's why I felt we were going towards a happy part of the show, but that's why the suicide rate is so much higher this time of year, is because of the depression and you lack that vitamin D, which helps with promotion of a healthy, happy life. We've done this before, and I think I'm going to promote it again. If you are having problems, or if you know someone that have having problems, please reach out. I don't care if it's to us or if it's to the mental helpline, anything. Just make sure that people know that they're being thought of.
Right.
So, okay. So I think we're going to try and get away from the dreary side of this show. Thinking back throughout the years, we've talked about Krampus, we've talked about the different cryptids. What were the lads' names? The Yule lads. We've talked. Yeah. I can never remember the cat's name, but it's because it's a really hard name, and it's just a really hard name. But the one topic we talked about, it wasn't that long ago, I think it was 2 years ago, or maybe it was last year even, the red and white shrooms that I believe it's from, I want to say it's Alaska or the natives of Alaska, would eat these red and white shrooms and then have hallucinations. And it was a tradition from this around this time of year to do that. And that's where people believe the red and white suit came from for Santa Claus.
Okay. Yeah, no, that was last year. And that was such an interesting topic. And I know a lot of people who listened to that show had actually responded to us about it, because it was just so weird. I had no idea about the mushrooms. And now I can't, every time I look at Santa, I just think of these red and white mushrooms. Jeez.
Well, the funny thing is after we did that episode, I had bought Assassin's Creed Valhalla, and it's about Vikings, and Vikings were actually ones that actually ate these types of mushrooms. I forget what the technical name for the I think it's fly emeritus or something like that. Fly something. Okay. And they would eat these mushrooms to hallucinate and have visions. not necessarily around this time of year, but all the time. So I was like, right. Hey, I know those mushrooms. I've never ate them before, but I know those mushrooms. So thinking back on all of the different episodes we've done, what kind of like what are your thoughts when you think back on all the episodes? What's something that sticks out for you?
Well, there was the, I forget what it's called, but there was a cat. Remember the big cat?
Yeah, that's what I was talking Yule about. Yeah.
The Yuletide. What was that name? Cat's name?
Go ahead and finish your thought. I'll look him up.
Yeah, no, I mean, that was one of my, that's the one I always remember the most as of recent times. I mean, I think that was the last 6 years at some point. I don't know when exactly, but just that along with the witch and the Yuletide lads, I think all correspond together. They all are from the same area. I thought it was really interesting. And it's always nice to see these other legends or myths that exist around the world that are part of the Christmas holiday, at least the pagan Christmas holiday. And that goes in line with, of course, Krampus. And we've talked about Krampus. I remember our very first Christmas episode was all about Krampus. And it was one of my favorite episodes of all time for Christmas.
So this episode, or this article calls him the Yule Cat. I know there was another name for him.
There's another name, yeah.
But Grilla and the Yule Lads, he's a part of like their family. Grilla was the ogre or ogress that was, I think, mother to the Yule Lads or something. But I can't find his actual name. But I'm sorry, I cut you off. Go ahead.
No, that's okay. I was just saying that the Krampus one, I think, if I'm not mistaken, and it's hard to remember because, you know, our first episode was 14 years ago.
you're talking about going back to Night Soccer's days.
Our first time ever talking about doing a Christmas episode.
Yeah, because it was the Anti-Claus, and that's
the Anti-Claus
typically Krampus. But there are apparently so many more that we dug up.
There's more that we dug up, and also the actual description of him has changed significantly as well. You know, way back then, it was all about it was really a horror story. You know, this Anti-Claus was a real creature that would take children and eat them, and it was always pictured as this demonic like creature that would come in with a long tongue and a pitchfork and would carry these children out of the house kicking and screaming. Now it's Krampus is still very much that's the idea behind him, but there's so much more. There's these Krampus parades, there's all these, you know, artistic renderings of Krampus that are put out everywhere. There is a new Krampus movie, I think, coming out, which is fun to look forward to. Hopefully it comes out this year. I don't know.
Yule Cat. Sorry, I'm still looking for this Yule Cat's name, and now all I can find is the Yule Cat. So I wasn't going to bring up any new stuff this year, but I found this article, and it's got one that I don't think we've talked about. The Mary Lewid, the Christmas zombie horse.
Oh, we have not ever talked about that.
Okay, so this macabre skeleton mare of Welsh tradition rises from the dead and wanders the streets with her attendants, who are also fresh from the grave, to remind the living of their existence. Mary Lewid has only one goal in mind: to get into your house. To keep the zombie horse out, you must engage in a battle of wits, in rhymes, no less, usually on New Year's Eve, where the undead mare is represented by a puppeteer parading as a horse skull on a pole draped in a white cloth.
Interesting.
And then here's another one from Switzerland. Have we ever talked about the Stragiel?
I think, be careful, man. You say it three times, I'm going to pop into your room.
Beatles.
It sounds vaguely familiar, though.
It's connected to Perkta. I know we've talked about Perkta.
Okay, right.
But it's kind of a similar looking creature to Krampus. But this guy is kind of heavy set, large horns, big head. Kind of looks like a sort of like a Bigfoot with horns. I'll show you really quick, even though everybody else won't be able to see it, but maybe I'll use it in our little thumbnail. Hey, look at me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, sorry. I'm multitasking.
There's a couple more that I don't think we've ever brought up. The Tomten. He's from Scandinavia. Belsnickel, we've talked about. Pierre Foutard, we've talked about. Mm-hmm. Grilla, we just mentioned. The Yolads. Okay. So, interesting. I had not planned on bringing up anything new for our down the rabbit hole, but I guess that's why it's down the rabbit hole.
I suppose so.
So, interesting. And funny thing is, I had thought about, well, maybe we should revisit something for Christmas this year, but at the same time, I think it's fun to just kind of wing it.
Right.
So now I'm going to... Oh, I finally found it. The Yule Cat's name is Yola Koturin.
That's it.
Yep. If that's even how you pronounce it.
Right.
So, Hans Trap, yeah, everything else we've kind of talked about. Okay, so, anything else you want to mention before we go to break? Or, you know, remember.
Right. No, let's roll.
All right, folks, you've been listening to Paratruth Radio right here on killerpodcasts.com, powered by Evergreen. We're going to take a quick break. You'll hear Eric's random fact of the day, quick commercial, and we will be right back with Paratruth Radio.
Now, Eric's random fact of the day.
Did you know that a woodpecker's tongue wraps all the way around its brain? According to abcbirds.org, having its tongue wrap around the back of its brain doesn't just give a woodpecker somewhere to store a long appendage, it also helps protect the bird's brain from injury during high-speed pecking.
This was Eric's random fact of the day.
Bonjour. This is Fabulously Delicious, the French food podcast. I'm Andrew Pryor, and every week I bring you the wonderful and fabulous people involved in French food, whether they're here in France like me or from around the world. Enchanté. Each week, we dive into a specific topic, be it a French dish, an ingredient, or a French cuisine cooking technique. My guests are all about French food, so come join me on Fabulously Delicious, the French food podcast. Bon app.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Paratruth Radio. My name is Eric.
And I'm Justin.
And we are, of course, taking a trip down the rabbit hole. And we kind of talked about all kinds of things, but we're diving into the Christmas season here, and we're talking about Yule cats and Krampus and all that kind of good fun. Cheery stuff.
Just that stuff.
For the record, now you're gonna, I don't know if you have, I don't know how to word this, because so when we do folks, when we do these breaks, we don't actually take a break and play the commercials live for us. So I'm gonna ask Justin a question here. Because technically, at this very moment, I don't think he's heard, unless you have. I'm just going to say, it's weird. Have you heard the, or have you listened to the random fact that I sent you today?
Not yet.
Not yet. Okay. See, and now I'm saying it's weird because you said not yet, but we just played the random fact for everybody else. And they might be wondering, well, how'd you not hear it? You just played it. And that's because it's thrown in to our mid-roll later when we edit.
Yeah, I usually listen to it as I'm entering it. So,
yeah. So with that said, I do want to mention it, though, because it's weird. And I don't know why it's... I don't know. So the in this case, as you guys heard with a random fact, woodpeckers, they have a very long tongue in order to eat prey and stuff, right? So when they pull their tongue in, the tongue wraps around their brain. I don't know if you knew that.
I didn't know
it's
that.
It's insane to me. And like the thought of it to me is like, if I had a long tongue and I was wrapped around my brain, I don't know if it would feel good, like massaging my brain, or if it would be really creepy and give me a headache, but it's crazy to me.
So since it's a part of life, I doubt they even know the difference.
Maybe. Yeah, probably not. Probably not.
I probably would not know the difference, but being cognizant of things, I would think about it. I'm like, why can't I feel my tongue wrapped around my brain?
Yeah, it's an odd thing. I know, random.
Well, that's why it's Eric's random fact of the day.
That's true. That is very true.
So we've talked about investigations. We've talked about the sad and good feelings of the season. We've talked about some things we've talked about in the past. I really don't know where to go here, because we've covered it all for Christmas time, and that's why we decided just to do some down the rabbit holes for this time of year.
Right.
We'll have a guest next week. He's a fellow podcaster. I will mention everything about that at the end of the show. But for the most part, it's just us this year, guys. We'll have this down the rabbit hole. We'll have another guest. We'll have kind of our official down the rabbit hole for Christmas, because that will be the Christmas episode. And then we'll have the down the rabbit hole for our New Year's episode. And sometimes that gets crazy. Sometimes it doesn't. Eric and I haven't really talked about what we're going to do this year, if we're going to have a special guest co-host or anything, but I think it's gonna be fun. I think you guys are gonna enjoy it. Like I had said, the podcast host is gonna be coming on with us from Killer Podcasts, and he's from the Mad Scientist podcast. His name is Christopher Cogswell, and I have listened to a couple of their episodes, and I think they're hilarious. I think they kind of fit to our demographic. So I think it's going to be a fun time. What are some of your thoughts for, should we cover something new next time down the rabbit hole?
As opposed to
just kind of, I mean, it'll be down the rabbit hole, but should we look up something new?
Sure.
For this year.
Sure. If we can find anything.
Right. But the one thing that actually I was talking to my wife about this week was the episode we did about telling ghost stories during the Christmas time. And that's why Charles Dickens wrote A Christmas Carol, because that was a common thing to do back then. So, and I loved that topic and talking about that, because I mean, not only is it our favorite topic, this, you know, it's the spooky season, but it's about a writer who went with it and did something, even though people thought it was weird. Okay, so it's pretty close to that time, and I think we can go along with what you were talking about at the beginning.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Justin and I spent, I think it probably took us around 10 minutes actually to finally go over all of the names. Now we've been looking at these names for the last,
I was going
to
say we've reviewed them quite a bit.
So it's more than 10 minutes, but we spent the 10 minutes at the beginning of the show, wrote them all down in one list, and we're able to break them down one by one. And this was a really fun thing to do. You know, I know we've done stuff like this in the past, but this one in particular is really cool. This is our mascot. So this mascot is something that's going to be a big part of our brand as Paratruth Radio. And whenever we jump down that rabbit hole, we're going to be following this rabbit mascot every time. He's going to be leading the way. So we're really excited to finally deliver the news as to who the winner this week is. For this particular contest. Again, I want to thank everybody for participating, whoever has. We appreciate all of your recommendations. They were all really fun and clever. I can't tell you how many times Justin and I, or my family and I, when we named some of these, we just start laughing, not because they were necessarily silly or goofy or anything, but they were just really clever. And it was so spot on with some of these things, you know. With that said, we did have to decide on a couple of factors. One, of course, was the length of the name. The second is pronunciation of the name, whether it's too difficult or whatever. And the third is, of course, whether or not the name registers with our show. Now, I know there were a couple of names that were just way far out there and we couldn't decide like what it actually meant. What was the meaning behind this name? How does that relate? So the main thing was using a relatable name for a relatable character to our show. With that said, we did come down to two finalists that we had to try to decide between. And ultimately, we decided to change things up. So instead of having one winner, we actually have two winners.
Yep.
And how can that be, you may ask. And the reason is that we decided to combine two names to give our rabbit a full title, first name and last name. So, Justin, I'm going to let you take it away to tell everybody who the winners are and what is the final name for our mascot.
Okay. So I'm going to run through all the names really quick because I think you guys deserve to hear them again. You heard some of them. We had Herbert Finkelfuss, Jasper, Reaper, Buck Truth, Ether Marillion, Lord P. Herotruth, Barnabas Bunny, Count Parahair, Paratooth, Mad Rabbit, Doc Hair Razor, Roscoe, Dr. Hoppers, Baron Wilhelm von Ghoul, Byron Heathcliff, Phasmo, Perry, Harvey, Shoby, Mr. Paratruther, Q, and Peter the Pararabbit. So, the winner, we decided to call him Count Jasper the Parahair. So, the two winners of a mug or t-shirt that's your guys' choosing is Debbie Smith and Marcella Black. Marcella Black had thought of the name Jasper. Debbie Smith had Count Parahair.
Both great names. We love them so much. That's why we decided to go with both. You know, Justin and I, we like to use the names interchangeably. So we'll be able to go with Count Jasper, and the Parahair, or all of it combined. So it's awesome. Thank you Congratulations to both of you for winning. Those are very good names, and we appreciate it. So your name is now attached to our bunny, and we're excited to get that announcement out there and start working him into all of our artwork and all of our little shenanigans here on BTR.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, folks. So we've got a lot of great stuff coming up for you. Like I said, the show next week, we're going to be talking to Chris from Mad Scientist Podcast. Like I said, he does a great show, so I think it's going to be fun and exciting. The week after that is Down the Rabbit Hole Part 2 for the Christmas edition, and then it's Down the Rabbit Hole New Year's edition, and then it's the end of the year.
Crazy. Just crazy.
And with that being said, that will mark 7 years doing Paratruth Radio. That's half of our podcasting career.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So I hope you guys really enjoy the show. We love hearing your guys' feedback. So if you love the show, if you hate the show, if you have ideas, different topics you want us to talk about, just go to paratruth.com. You can just contact us straight from there. We still have paratruthradio@gmail.com as well. You can reach us on pretty much any social media that you can find out there. If there isn't one that we're on, I feel somebody has put us on there. So, but you know, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, pretty much anywhere. So reach out to us. Let us know how we're doing, or not, how we're not doing. And yeah, just enjoy the season, guys. Be happy, be healthy, spend time with your family and friends. Get out there. Please keep your distance and wear masks where applicable. Unfortunately, COVID is still out there and is going to be a part of our life for quite a while, I'm fearing. Yeah. But the one good thing is it kind of keeps, you know, the flu and the common cold at bay a little bit too. So until next week, folks, where you'll find us on killerpodcast.com. My name is Justin.
And I'm Eric.
Peace.
This is.
Welcome to Novel Conversations, a podcast about the world's greatest stories. I'm your host, Frank Lavallo, and for each episode of Novel Conversations, I talk to two readers about one book. And together, we summarize the story for you. We introduce you to the characters, we tell you what happens to them, and we read from the book along the way. So if you love hearing a good story, you're in the right place. Our 9th season is coming this fall. Tune in to hear from some of the all-time great authors, Charles Dickens, Jules Verne, F. Scott Fitzgerald, and more. Subscribe to Novel Conversations wherever you listen to podcasts.